It's not just President Trump's life that was spared in 2024. If it were not for the sustaining, life-giving hand of God, none of us would be here today. Therefore, we must be good stewards of this year that God has given to us. I don't know that I've ever done a sermon quite like this. It's not a novel thing. I just don't usually do a list of seven things or anything like that. I like to work through a text. But I want to give us seven P's of a wise new year. This sermon is for the church, for the body of Christ, for those who have repented of their sins and are trusting in Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins. And if you're here and are honest enough to say, I don't know if I'm a Christian, or if you're here and maybe you've deceived yourself for some time thinking you're a Christian, but there's no reality of that in your life, I hope you'll listen intently, because the only way that we can do what I'm encouraging us to do this year is by the renewing power of the cross and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Only in that can any of us be truly wise in this new year. And I just readily admit to you as your pastor, in my own life, in my flesh, I am powerless. I will fall on my face again and again and again. But in the power of the cross and by the empowerment of the Spirit, you and I, those of us who are in Christ, we have the same power that raised Christ from the grave to enable us to live for Him every day. Now to the text of Ephesians. The letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church can very simply be divided into two parts. Part one is chapters 1 through 3, and that is orthodoxy, that is the doctrine, the basis of the book. Right doctrine, right teaching. Namely this: apart from Christ, we are all spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. God mercifully raises to new life those whom He has predestined from eternity past. Apart from any works of our own, God saves us by grace alone, through faith alone, in the completed work of Christ alone. And then He puts all of us together, Jew and Gentile, black and white, rich and poor, slave and free, rancher and farmer and school teacher, all into the same family, the same body of Christ. And that leads to part two of Ephesians. The second part, chapters 4 through 6, is orthopraxy. The first three chapters is orthodoxy, right doctrine, right teaching. The second is right practice, right living. How does that doctrine play itself out in your daily life? And as you can imagine, when you bring together people from all walks of life into the same body, you're going to need some instruction as to how to get along. And indeed, that's what Paul has done for us as he has written to the Ephesian church. The fact of the miraculous work of God to make a dead soul alive in Christ necessarily leads to us living as new creations, both in the world and within the body of Christ. So I ask this question of all of us: how should we then, as Christians, as the church, as the body of Christ, how should we live in 2025? To answer that, let me read for us Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father, you are good and you are wisdom. You have shown us the gift of eternal life, and you, Jesus, are our Savior. And oh, how we rejoice in our salvation in this new year. I pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, that today would be the day of salvation for that individual. And for those of us who do know you, I pray that you would teach us from your word. You would empower us by your Spirit to live a life that is honoring to you in this new year of 2025. We commit our time to you, and we thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice on our behalf. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. The seven P's of a wise new year. Number one, pervasive wisdom. Verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. There's a contrast going on in this chapter. Previously, he's talking about those who are not living according to the gospel. But for us, he says, this is how we ought to walk. Look carefully then how you walk. And he's talking about walking in wisdom. What is wisdom? Here is my definition. It's not profound. It's very simple. And if you don't like it, that's okay, because it's just my definition. You can just blame me. Wisdom is knowledge with a heart and legs. Knowledge with a heart and legs. That's wisdom. Because you can know something and not do anything with it. You can feel something, even feel it strongly, and never act upon it. Wisdom is knowledge with a heart and with legs. The scriptures tell us the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If your heart and life are characterized by fearing God, it will lead to wisdom in every area of your life. That is what Paul is exhorting the Ephesians and us when he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And as we move into 2025, let us be careful how we walk. That is, how we live our lives. Every step should be filled with wisdom. There must be a pervasive wisdom that directs and colors and flavors every step, indeed, every move that we make in this new year. My grandfather, Theo Knudsen, wrote this in May of 1959. It's a poem entitled Caution. And by the way, a little advertisement or commercial. On the back table, there is a Christmas card from our family for each one of you. I hope you'll pick one up. That's just our lazy way of passing them out. Hope you'll grab one of them. But inside there is a copy of this poem for you. So I hope you'll pick one up. This is a portion of that poem. May our probing then be careful. May we choose a proven course. There are many ghastly pitfalls. Life can end in rife remorse. There are teachers, leaders, preachers, pointing paths, but not the same. May our Lord grant us discernment, lest we shame his holy name. May we walk in circumspection and our thinking not too thin, lest in baleful lamentations we must muse what might have been. We need wisdom to walk every step of the way in 2025. And the reality is, all of us lack wisdom. None of us has it all figured out. And in true fashion, the scriptures give us hope even in that. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, and we all nod our head, yes, I do, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Isn't that good news? We all recognize, man, I lack wisdom. I wish I knew how to deal with this situation. I wish I knew what to say in this circumstance. I wish. And you know what? We can go to God and say, God, I lack wisdom. I need some wisdom. And he will give it to us. That's good news from the Word of God. So our first P of 2025 is a pervasive wisdom. A wisdom that runs ahead of and throughout each of the next six P's. So number two, plan your time. Plan your time. Verse 16, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Plan your time. You have heard the saying, I'm sure, and it's attributed to Benjamin Franklin, if you fail to plan, then you are planning to fail. If you fail to plan, then you are planning to fail. This is especially true in regard to our time. Time is a gift. It's a stewardship from God that he has given to every person, believer and unbeliever. And so it is a limited resource that he's given to us. The scriptures have much to say about time. Now, the scriptures teach us that God is eternal. Therefore, some have concluded that God is unfazed and uninterested in time. Not true. Absolutely untrue. Remember, God is the one who created the sun. He's the one who created the moon and the rotation of the earth. He's the one who created time. He numbered his creation, day one, day two, and so forth. Jesus came at just the right time in history. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Time indeed is important to God. And Jesus will return on a certain day, at a certain hour. Matthew 24:36 says, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Indeed, God is concerned with time. An unbeliever in Scripture is exhorted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. In other words, there is a time that we must repent. And going back to our first P, Moses prayed on behalf of every generation of God's people in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Why should we number our days? Again, because we have limited days. We have a limited number of days to live on this earth. David writes in Psalm 139:16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All of us have a certain number of days. I always think of this at the beginning of the year. Yes, because it's a new year, but because I have a January birthday. And every year I think, this could be my last year. You never know. This could be my last year. And so every year I kind of take stock of my life and I say, am I taking advantage of this short vapor of a life so that it might count for the gospel and for the kingdom of heaven? Because I want my short time here on this earth to count for eternity. And so I say to all of us, plan your time. Plan your time for maximum productivity to the glory of God. Now, let me add this caveat. Don't be a slave to a schedule. Don't be a slave to a schedule. In other words, always allow God's better plan to interrupt your schedule. Be flexible. Be willing to change as he causes you and wants you to change. Number three. Perceive the will of the Lord. Verse 17. Perceive the will of the Lord. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Theologians speak of two wills of God. I encourage you to go read more of this on your own. There is his revealed will, which is what you're holding in your hands, the word of God. That is his revealed will. And there is his secret will. That is his sovereign and providential will, whereby all creation is under the royal will of God. We don't pretend to know why or how God does all that he does, nor do we have to run cover for God. I'll just say that I don't ever feel like I have to apologize for what God says in his word or how he says it or what he tells us to do or what he tells us to believe. It's in God's word. It's what we should believe. God is God, and he is good, and he does whatever he pleases. Therefore, all that he does corresponds to righteousness and truth and is for his glory. Now, there are moments, admittedly, in my own life and in your life that we all call out to God in desperation, in prayer, seeking answers. God, I don't understand why you did this. I'm not getting how you're leading me in this direction. We all have those moments and that bit of misunderstanding or cloudiness in our minds. And it's right to pray and seek answers. But hear this, that we are to not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How? Primarily by being in the Word of God. By being in the Word of God. We can know for certain what the will of God is by reading His Word. Let me just give us several very practical ways to apply this in 2025. Number one, we must read the Word of God personally in 2025. You need to pick up your Bible and read it. You say, well, I'm just not much of a reader, or I like to read novels, or I like to read. I don't care. Put those things down and pick up your Bible and read it. Well, I'm not a very good reader. I get distracted. It doesn't matter. Pick up your Bible and read it. It's God's Word. If the God of heaven and earth made an effort to give you His Word, His will, we ought to take it up and read it. Read the Word of God for yourself. Secondly, I would just encourage you to also listen to the Scriptures being read to you. We have amazing resources these days with the internet to listen to the Word of God. On the back side of your outline, there's a bunch of resources I've given you. One of those, under this number 3, is a website, faithcomesbyhearing.com. About 20 years ago, I had the privilege of visiting the Faith Comes By Hearing headquarters. It's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I wanted to see it, and I went, and they gave me a tour, an amazing place where they have translated the Word of God into all sorts of languages. They're getting it out audibly for illiterate people, for people that they don't have a written language. It's an amazing, amazing website, an amazing ministry. I just encourage you to look at it. But it also has all sorts of English versions for us to listen to. That's one of the ways that I'm taking in the Word of God this year, and I just commend it to you. I'm sure there's lots of other Bible apps, and you're smarter than me. You can figure those out. But that's just one resource. Thirdly, we must read the Word of God with our families in 2025. Read the Bible with your family. Or kids at school. Gather some kids together at lunchtime and say, hey, listen to what the Word of God says. Read the Word of God with others. It is good. Do we understand it perfectly and wholly? No, we don't. But it's always good. Read the Word of God together with others. And as you read the Word of God, pray and meditate on the Word of God in 2025. Do something like this. God, I want to make the best use of my time, understanding that the days are evil. Would you please help me to understand how to best schedule my time? Just talk to God as you're reading the scriptures. Meditate upon His word and let that translate to a prayer back to God. Pray through and meditate on the word of God in 2025. And then finally, an exhortation, we must bring our family to church. Bring your family to church to hear the word of God preached and taught. It's so important for us to be here and to hear the word of God. Now, at this point, we should read all of Psalm 119, but we don't quite have time for that. But I want to give you several verses from Psalm 119. Verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight, they are my counselors. Verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts, in your righteousness give me life. Verse 68, you are good and do good, teach me your statutes. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. Verse 125, I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. And verse 165, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. So how do we perceive the will of the Lord in 2025? By being in his word. Number four. Permeated actions. Verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. This verse is certainly a command, but it is also an argument. It is an argument from the lesser to the greater. If you've ever been around a drunk person, you know that everything about them at that moment is permeated by their drunkenness. Their breath, their movements, their judgment or lack thereof, their thinking, their relationships, their language, everything is permeated by the alcohol, by their drunkenness. Now, Paul is certainly saying that it is wrong to get drunk. And I would add this, it's wrong to encourage or enable someone else to get drunk. And I'll let you work out all the implications of that. But that is the lesser of the arguments, or even the lesser of the commands. It's the most basic no-brainer of what he's saying. If you've been around the folly of drunkenness, it should just be a no-brainer for us as believers. The greater argument is this. Yes, do not let alcohol permeate your actions, but even greater, let the Spirit permeate our actions in 2025. That's the greater argument. Just as alcohol or drunkenness permeates somebody, let the Spirit permeate our lives. Let it go through everything in our lives. If you are a Christian, then the Holy Spirit already dwells within you. Don't quench the Spirit. Let Him work in and through your lives. You don't need alcoholic or drug-induced or pornographic thrills. Listen, the Holy Spirit gives you stability unlike the instability of drunkenness. The Holy Spirit gives you peace unlike the fighting and unrest of drunkenness. And just as the drunk submits herself or himself to the bottle, we must submit ourselves to the work and promptings of the Holy Spirit. And so let me ask you several questions. Is the Spirit convicting you of sin? Then confess that sin to God and to whomever your sin affected. Is the Spirit prompting you to pray for someone? Then stop and pray either with them or for them. Is the Spirit prompting you to make reconciliation with someone? Then stop whatever you're doing and pick up the phone and call them, or make a drive across the country to reconcile with that brother who you've come to odds with. Do whatever it takes to make reconciliation. Is the Spirit prompting you to help the homeless, just like in our children's story this morning, or to pick up the hitchhiker? Then stop the car and trust the Lord with your safety. Is the Spirit prompting you to make a sacrificial gift to a ministry? Then write the check, give the cash before you have a chance to spend it on yourself. Is the Spirit prompting you to share the gospel with someone? Then open your mouth, send a note, invite someone over to your house and give them a great meal, and open your Bible and share the gospel with them. If the Spirit is prompting you, act. That's what it is to be permeated by the Spirit. And may we as a church be permeated by the Spirit in 2025. Number five, praise and worship. Verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. The only way we can really do this is in public worship. Public worship. You could do it another way, but you certainly don't want me sending you a singing telegram. Okay, it's not that pretty. You don't want to listen to it. This tells me two things. Number one, in 2025, we must commit not just to coming when it's convenient, but to being with brothers and sisters in Christ that need to hear of God's word being preached and love to sing the truths of God in song. We must commit to that, not saying, well, I'll be there if it's convenient. We must commit to being here for public worship. Secondly, we must have a heart for the Lord that is so full. Look at the verse again. It says at the very end, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So this singing and making melody begins in the heart. So the idea is you have a heart that is so full of the love of God that it comes out of your mouth from your lips. Here's what I want to exhort us to do in this year. Sing. And sing out to the Lord with all your heart. It's not enough to come and read the words. It's not enough to come and mumble the words. Sing. Sing with all your heart. We should be louder than a rock concert. We should be singing with all our heart, that all of Kadoka, when they drive by, they hear that we're praising God in this building. Sing with all your heart. I think that's honoring to the Lord. I'm convinced that true Christians sing wholeheartedly to the Lord. It's just obvious to me. Somebody whose life has been changed, they want to sing. They may not be the best. They may not sound too good, but they're gonna sing. And they're gonna praise the Lord. Now consider this verse also. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this: let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I think that happens through teaching, through singing. And then he goes on to say, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Don't be in that camp, being in the habit of not meeting together, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now let me ask you, is 2025 closer to the Lord's return than 2024? Yes, it is. Therefore, this year, we have all the more reason to meet together. Meet together as you see the day drawing near. Oh, how good it is to be together. Oh, how I miss it when I'm not here with you. I love to be with you. So all the more, as we see the day drawing near, let's commit to being together. Number six, a permanent attitude, verse 20. giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see two words there? Always and everything. That's comprehensive. That's permanent. That's a permanent attitude of thanksgiving. None of us enjoy being around a grumpy complainer. You don't like to be around that person. I don't like to be around that person. I hope that's not you. Now, there are some that are more naturally pessimists. That's just how God has made you. And that's not totally wrong. There's a reality to being a pessimist. And here's the reality. We live in a fallen world. We live under the curse of sin. And so everything in this world is broken and messed up. There's not a single thing that's not tainted in this world. Every person, every family, every church, every community, every horse, every tractor, every school, every culture, every police department, every sport, every political party, every country, everything is messed up in this world to one degree or another. And so the pessimist has that right. But we who have been changed by forgiveness in Jesus Christ, we see something beautiful. We see that Jesus came to forgive our sins, that he came to fix what is broken. He came to bind up the brokenhearted, and ultimately, he will reverse the curse that we live under right now. And so we see this, that God is causing all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Therefore, we can give thanks in all things. And so Paul exhorts the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We can do that in this new year. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God, giving thanks for all things. And so in 2025, have a permanent attitude of thanksgiving to God. And number 7, we're almost done. A preference for others. A preference for others. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is a preference for others to submit to one another. Now he's going to go on and give some very specific ways that we're called to submit. Wives to husbands, children to parents. We're all to submit to the governing authorities that God has placed in our lives. But there's a very basic principle of submitting to one another in the body of Christ. Elsewhere, Paul calls it by giving preference to one another. That you prefer others before yourself. That you say, you know what? Yeah, I naturally love myself, because we all do. But you know what? You are more important than me. You are more important than me. Oh, how many problems would that fix? How many problems would that fix in your family? How many problems would that fix in this church? How many problems would that fix in this community and in this country? For us to recognize that the other person is more important than ourselves. The epistles are filled with one another's. And let me say this, the answer for your emotional struggles is not to focus more on yourself. Throw that secular counseling in the trash. The answer for your emotional struggles is to get your eyes off yourself, to lift it up to the needs that are all around you. The needs right here within this body and the needs within our community. Let's take our eyes off ourselves and lift them up to the needs that are all around us. Oh, may God give us grace in this new year to apply these 7 P's of a wise new year. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the privilege of opening your word. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together as we do week after week, time after time. Lord, we know that you are right here with us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that indwells us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would go before us, work through us, help us to be submissive to your will and to your leading. Father, we love you. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on our behalf. May we live every waking moment of our lives purposefully for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.